All right, I asked you the question, what is the gospel? If we want to know what the gospel is, let me show you in your Bible the best scripture reference to go to learn what the gospel is. And the best scripture reference to go to learn what the gospel is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So write that down on your 5x8 card, students. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. For we want to learn today in chapel, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? What is the gospel? So turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I need a student to raise their hand, and I need a student to tell me who wrote 1 Corinthians. I need a student to tell me who wrote 1 Corinthians. Who wrote 1 Corinthians? Now, if you think you know the answer, put the answer down right next to 1 Corinthians 15. Write down who you think wrote 1 Corinthians. Every student, write down who you think wrote Corinthians. Who do you think wrote the letter to the church at Corinth? Who do you think wrote it down? Write down your answer, and then we'll get someone to answer the question for us. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Paul, that's right. Paul. So if you answered Paul, you are correct. Paul wrote the letter to the church at Corinth, and he tells us what the gospel is. I've got my Bible, so I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And all of us in 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade today are going to learn what the gospel is from 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. All right, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. All the students have their Bibles open. Everyone's turning. Teachers, help me out. Let's make sure everyone's at the correct reference. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We've got our Bibles, and we're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right, let's start reading from verse number 1. From verse number 1, put your finger on the text and read along with me. Moreover, brethren, stop. Good. That's it. We just read what the gospel is. Now let's stop and go back and look at what Paul wrote, because he just told us what the gospel is. So the first thing I want you to do is take your pen, go to your Bible, and notice the word gospel. I want you to very carefully underline the word gospel. It is found in verse number 1. Take your pen and very carefully underline the word gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, the word gospel. Take your pen, very carefully underline the word gospel. The word gospel means two words. Does anyone know what it is? It's two words, and only two words. The word gospel means two words. Yes, sir? Good news. Excellent. Very good. You are correct. The gospel is good news. The gospel is not bad news. The gospel is good news. Say it with me again. The gospel is
good news.
The gospel is good news. So in your definition, you should have had the word good news somewhere in there, because the gospel is the good news. Now, Paul says that this gospel does what, according to verse number 2? Look in your Bible. What does this gospel do in verse number 2? By which you also are, what's it say?
Saved.
The gospel is the good news by which I may be what?
Saved.
By which I may be saved. Now, let's talk about what I'm saved from. What am I saved from? What am I saved from? Am I saved from drowning in the ocean?
No.
No, that's not what I'm saved from. So I need someone who hasn't given me an answer to tell me what I'm saved from. Yes, ma'am, all the way down to my Miss Chapman. What am I saved from? You are not saved from, but you're on the right track in your thinking. Let me help you a little bit. What are you saved from? What are you saved from? Yes, ma'am. You got to say it nice and loud. Sin? Saved from sin. Good. That's a good answer. What else are you saved from? There's more. Yes, sir.
Being bound in sins.
Okay, bound in sins. All right. Mr. Curto, yes, sir. You're saved from God. From God's what? Saved from God's what? Saved from God's what? Yes, ma'am. Wrath. Very good. Wrath. W-R-A-T-H. Wrath. Saved from God's wrath. Saved from God's wrath. Saved from God's wrath. What else am I saved from? What else am I saved from? Or where do I experience God's wrath? Where do I experience God's wrath? Yes, ma'am. No, that's not when you do wrong. Where am I ultimately going to experience God's wrath if I'm not saved? I'm going to experience it in hell. That's correct. Hell is a place for the devil and his angels. And all of you boys and girls who are not saved, you will die and go to hell. And that is a scary, dark, wicked, miserable place. And you should be scared to go to hell. And if you're not scared about going to hell, something is wrong with you. Now, look at verse number 2. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Now, we're getting ready to learn the gospel in verse number 3. Look at verse number 3, students. I want to show you from your own Bible what the gospel is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. So the gospel, or the good news, is Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. The good news is God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for His sins?
No.
Our sins. Our sins. So, central to the gospel, look at me, central to the gospel is the cross of Jesus Christ. Central to the gospel is the cross. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. God sent His Son to die on a cross for our sins. Now, why is this good news? Why is this good news? Yes, ma'am. Can you help her out? Why is this good news? Ty, why is this good news? Nice and loud. It's good news because I don't have to die for my sins. It's good news because I don't have to die for my sins. Why don't I have to die for my sins? Yes, ma'am. Because Christ died for my sins. Because Jesus died for my sins. I don't have to die for my sins. Then what does it say next about the gospel? Very next thing in the verse. Look at it very closely. According to the what? And that He was what?
Buried.
And that He was buried. And then what's the next thing? He rose again. So I'm going to draw a box. And I'm going to put a circle in front of my box. And that circle reminds me of the sepulcher that Christ was buried in. The box is the sepulcher. What's the circle for? Why did I draw a circle? Why did I draw a circle? Yes, ma'am. No, why did I draw a circle? Someone else. Yes, ma'am. The stone. I'm drawing a circle of the stone. And what did they do with the stone? What would they do with the stone? What would they do with the stone? Someone tell me, what would they do with the stone? Yes, ma'am. They would roll it over, and then you could walk in, and then when they got done inside there, they would roll the stone back over and keep people out. So instead of having doors, look right over there, every student, look right over there. Instead of having doors, we would have a large stone in front of that. If you want to go see the principal, you'd roll the stone away. You'd go see the principal. It'd be like going to see a grave, you know. You might die in there, a sepulcher. And then, you didn't even get that. That was a joke. You didn't even laugh at my joke. You hurt my feelings for not laughing at my joke. Unbelievable. All right, now, take your Bibles and turn all the way back to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter number 13, 2 Kings, chapter 13, and I've got a story to tell you, and this is an amazing story. All right, I need a boy volunteer to be Elisha. I need a boy volunteer to be Elisha, and you cannot be claustrophobic. You cannot be claustrophobic to be this. All right, you're going to do it, Colt? All right, let's go. Come on down. All right? All right, let's look at 2 Kings chapter 13. Are you there? 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. Josh, come on over here. All right, this is Colt, but from this point forward, his name is Elisha. His name is Elisha. What was Elisha? Someone tell me, what was Elisha? Was Elisha a carpenter? No. Was Elisha a plumber? No, he wasn't a plumber. Wasn't a carpenter. What? Someone said it. I heard it over here. He was a prophet. That's right. He was a prophet. Who was the great prophet before Elisha? Who was the great prophet before Elisha? Everyone should know this. Yes, ma'am. No, it was not Samuel. Samuel has been dead for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. The great prophet before Elijah. Elijah. That's right, Elijah. And before Elijah went to be with the Lord, he designated the next prophet. And this prophet by the name of Elijah asked God for a double blessing of what God gave Elijah. And God gave it to Elisha. And Elisha was an incredible prophet for 50 years. For 50 years he spoke the word of the Lord. And he went around doing amazing things. Amazing things. And then, you know what happened? He died. Elisha died. And when you died, they would wrap you up. So come over here, Colt, and let's die. All right, come lay right here. All right, you're not claustrophobic, right? Good. All right, Elisha is dead. Everyone see that Elisha's dead? Everyone see it? Elisha is what?
Dead.
Yeah, he's dead. Now, look at your Bible with me at verse number 20. Verse 20. All right, everyone looking? And Elisha died. Sorry, Elisha, you're dead. And they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. All right, so let me get another volunteer. I need another volunteer. Sorry, you have to be a man. All right. Yes, sir, right there. Let's go. You're one of those Kirchhoff boys, right?
Yeah.
You have a name?
Jackson.
All right, Jackson, you're also dead. Die. All right. Mr. Kellett, will you come down and help me, please? All right, you listening? Are you listening?
Yes.
I'm teaching you something, so you got to pay attention. Elijah is buried inside some kind of a sepulcher. And they've got the stone rolled away. And it's now time to bury Jackson. And we are in charge, and a few others, of burying Jackson. And we're getting ready to have our nice funeral together, Mr. Kellett and I. Out of the corner of our eye, over there in the distance, we see a bandit of raiders coming who want to kill us because we are Israelites and they're warring with us. So sorry, Jackson, you don't get time for a nice Amazing Grace funeral, read a scripture. No, we got to get out of here. So this is what the Bible says. Look at it with me in the Bible. Look at it very closely. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. They cast him in. So we're going to cast you in. Are you ready? Mr. Kellett, will you help me? So out of the corner of our eye, we see the bandit. And so, no wrapping cloth for you. We'll just throw you in. I want you to see what happened. All right, Jackson, you need to listen. Are you listening? All right, here it comes. And when the man that was let down touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now, listen, that is an amazing story. That is one amazing story. The man was dead. Dead. And they were going to bury him in the same sepulcher that Elisha was buried. And they were going to wrap him properly and set him in there and treat him as the reverend body. Revere him, show the proper respects, but because of the fear of their own life and the band of marauders that was coming, they just threw him in there. And the Bible says that when his dead bones made contact with this dead prophet, he lived again. He was revived. Now, Mr. Kellett, you and I would probably flip out that day if just after we've thrown someone into a sepulcher, hey, come wait for me, you come running out there saying, I'm not dead. That would probably be quite an experience, don't you think? Mr. Jackson, thank you for your help. You may sit down. Now, listen to me. All right, I need you to put your theologian hats on and listen, because now I'm really going to teach you. We've had a great story, and this is an amazing story. But without the gospel, all it is a story. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, verse number 53. Luke 23, verse 53. Let's look at the Bible verse together. And he took it down. All right, what are we talking about? He took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man before was laid. What are we talking about here? What is this verse all about? Where are we at in the story of Christ, and what is this verse all about? Yes, sir. It's after Jesus Christ died on the cross, and then what happened? Yes, ma'am. They took the body down, and then what did they do after that? They wrapped him in linen, and they didn't bury him like we bury today. They went into a sepulcher. And they set him down on probably a ledge of sorts. And it says, what kind of sepulcher? Was anybody else in there? Had anyone ever been in there before?
No.
No. It was an empty sepulcher. Now, then they rolled the stone back. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, is Jesus still in there?
Yes.
No.
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 Is Jesus still in that sepulcher?
No.
Absolutely not. He is not there. He is not there. He rose from the
dead.
He rose from the dead. He's not in there. The gospel is the good news that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and rose again. Now, let me teach you something. Turn to Romans chapter number 6. Romans 6. You're almost there, just a couple books away. You're doing a great job finding Bible verses today. Romans 6. I'm going to look at two verses and then we'll be done. Romans 6. Romans 6. Write down Romans 6. All right, I want to read from verse 3. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 3. Look at it with me. Put your finger on the 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him. We are buried with him. Now, notice verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Mary Jackson. Stand right here. The story of Elisha dying, being put in a sepulcher, and a man being cast in there and coming alive again is not about Elisha. It is not about Elisha. It is all about a prophecy or a picture of the coming prophet, the ultimate prophet, Jesus Christ, who also will be buried like Elisha will be buried. And in the same way, listen to me, boys, in the same way that this man was cast in that tomb, and when his dead bones made contact with the dead bones of Elisha, Paul teaches us, listen, Paul teaches us that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you believe the gospel, that God takes you symbolically and buries you with Christ, your dead bones are buried with his dead bones, symbolically. It is a picture. It is an idea. And that when your dead bones are buried with Christ's dead bones, because he lived, you too will also live. You too will also live. The good news, the gospel, is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again so that we can be saved from sin, the wrath of God, and ultimately an eternity in hell. That our dead bones are buried with his dead bones. And because he's not in the grave anymore, we won't have to stay in the grave anymore. Because he rose from the grave, we will rise from the grave. The gospel is the good news that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again on the third day, so that we also can live. Christ lived, we live. Christ was out without sin, we become without sin through Christ. This story in Kings, listen, this story in Kings is not about a dead man making contact with the prophet's bones. It is a picture of what God does when you and I put our faith in the gospel. Thank you so much, Jackson. You may sit down. Let's pray.